There comes a time when a congregation is looking at their budget and calls the question, what are our associational dues for anyway? And then I usually get a call that goes something like this: Tandy, I need you to come and preach on what the association does. What do we get for our dues? And you'd think I would dread such a thing. I mean, if I were you, I would dread listening to such a sermon. It's not very spiritual. It's not very fulfilling, am I right? And isn't that why we come to church? For inspiration, spiritual fulfillment, that alchemical combination of being comfortable and the practice of sitting in our discomfort. James Luther Adams, the great 21st century theologian, said, we come to church for two reasons, intimacy and ultimacy. Intimacy, to be deeply known and to deeply know. Ultimacy, to belong to something larger than ourselves, to matter. That notion of ultimacy is what I'm actually going to preach about today, because that's what the Unitarian Universalist Association of Congregations means. The blessings and responsibilities of belonging to something larger than ourselves, even larger than this moment in time. The UUA, of which you are a member, this congregation, I should say, is a member, is an embodiment of covenant. And every morning, I begin my work as your UUA regional liaison. I call myself your primary contact, the UUA. I light a chalice on my desk, and I say these words, which are a version of a chalice lighting that the Reverend Ken Jones gifted my home congregation, the Tacoma UU. I light this chalice in deep respect for the mystery and holiness of life. I light this chalice in honor and gratitude for those who have come before, whose shoulders I stand on. May I bring honor to the ancestors today. And at this point, I often conjure up some ancestors. I have these little paper dolls that I've made with, I cut out like pictures of the ancestors and stuck them on there. I have a little Leon Hopper ancestor doll. He's out an awful lot. And I gather them around and I think of them sharing coffee with me in the morning and I think, what do I need to know from the ancestors today? I light this chalice in honor and compassion for those who dwell among us. God, help me to do no harm. And when I do, to take responsibility and try my best to repair. I light this chalice in hope and faith for the generations to come. May my ministry today make their way brighter and more joyful to those yet to come. And I think, who's not present, and how may I be a tool to help them find their way home and know they belong. I have to say it's bittersweet to be here preaching with you at this time because I expect to look out and see Dick Jackie, who is now a guiding ancestor for me. I don't know how he will feel about being a paper doll, but and you know that he would be in the front row to take in a sermon about the UUA. This notion of honoring our ancestors, to fiercely love those in our life now, and to make the way easier for those yet to come, that's covenant. The notion that we belong to something larger, that our actions matter to those around us, that's covenant. The Unitarian Universalist Association of Congregations is not bound by creeds. We're bound by covenant. That's what makes us a little different as a denomination. Our congregational polity, it's a fancy name for governance, is sometimes, unattractively so, interpreted as this anti-authoritarian independence. You can't tell me what to do. And while it's true that congregations decide for themselves your own mission, your own form of governance, even what it means to be a member, you decide. I can't tell you what to do. I can advise, I can tell you what others do, but you get to decide. That you can't tell me what to do doesn't sound very covenantal, does it? So I think, what if we flipped the principles around and the seventh principle was the very first one instead of the first one? What is the first one? The inherent worth and dignity of every person. You know, the youth will call when, I don't know if this has ever happened to you, if you've heard it, or perhaps it was you, where you hold hostage a decision, or you get all fussy because your inherent worth and dignity was somehow stepped on, because the other person disagrees with you. The youth call that throwing chalices. Or when there's a vote, but it wasn't the way that you wanted to work out, so some might call, we need a revote because obviously democracy didn't work. I'm not saying that ever happens here. I might have seen that in other congregations. Again, throwing chalices. But what if our seventh principle, the seventh principle, the interdependent web of all existence, what if that were first? I consider it a formidable informer of congregational polity. Our congregations as an intertwined network, a web, if you will. We are simply better together. And this UUA we refer to when we ask, usually with our hands on our hips, what has the UUA done for us lately, is actually the institution that the web of congregations has pooled resources together to create in order to serve our greater good. The association exists, the institution, to do all that the 1,000 Unitarian Universalist individual congregations cannot accomplish on their own. I have so admired our current UUA president, Reverend Susan Frederick Gray, who has relentlessly showed up as a public face of Unitarian Universalism. Where she goes, we are. Whether it be to the anniversary of Selma, the crossing of the bridge, or the tense presence in Charlottesville. Another way we are prophetic is through our publishing house, Beacon Press. You know, with Mary Oliver's passing, some of you may have pulled out some Mary Oliver poetry, and if you look in the cover, you will find Beacon Press. She's not Unitarian Universalist, although we count her as certainly one of our saints. Partially, that's because she came to Beacon Press and said, I want you all to be my publishing house. We also published the Pentagon Papers, detailing the Pentagon's use and misuse of information to create and continue support for the Vietnam War. No major publishing house would publish the papers. They were too afraid. And in response, the FBI began an investigation of the UUA, which we fought all the way to the Supreme Court. We're dangerous. Although the legal expenses of that battle hurt us tremendously, I am proud that that's where our resources went. And if you go to Beacon Press, the website, and peruse the titles, we are still publishing avant-garde materials that no one else will publish. We're still dangerous. And the UUA institution supports lay and professional leaders of congregations by creating and providing many free curriculum for lifespan religious education. Now, how many of you have either taken OWL or have had a child or youth who have taken OWL? Raise your hand. Okay, good portion of us. That's the UUA. If that is the only thing that the UUA has done, we will have earned our rent on this planet. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
I love OWL. I'm a zealot. If that's the only thing we've done, man, I would still give my life to Unitarian Universalism. The UUA oversees the formation and the fellowshipping of ministers and the credentialing of professional religious educators and credentialing musicians. And the office I most often send lay leaders to is the Office of Church Staff Finance, who not only help us figure out fair compensation, which is a justice issue, but solid staffing practices, which, you know, is not as sexy as OWL or the Pentagon Papers, but essential nonetheless. The association is not only the outward voice and face of Unitarian Universalism, but some have called it the nerve system, the internal structure framework on which UU is built and grows. At this point, I want to plug our General Assembly, where thousands of UUs from all over will gather for a long weekend. Decisions are made there. If you love singing Blue Boat Home, you have not sung Blue Boat Home until you have sung it with thousands of people, usually led by the person who wrote it, Jason Shelton. It's amazing. So in June, start planning your carpools to head to Spokane. For my part in the UUA, I am on staff of your Pacific Western region. So the UUA is made up of 5 regions. We used to have 49 districts. That wasn't working so well. So 5 different districts. And the Pacific Western region is everything west of the Rockies plus Hawaii and Alaska. And I'm seeing some eyes get very big. I know. It is by far the largest geographically. But if you made a pie chart, which I do often because I love my pie charts, if you made a pie chart of all the adult members in all the different regions, it would be almost exactly the same. There are the same number of adult members as there is in little itsy-bitsy New England, not to geographically shame them, but in little New England as there are in our region. And if I made another pie chart, as I am wont to do, with color codes, you would see that we have almost the same number of congregations in each of our regions as well. And honestly, with this age of technology, it doesn't feel so big to me in our region. When I worked for our national office, I had the privilege of working with congregations from all over the country. I had different titles at the national office. I was part of the growth office when we had one, and that was very exciting and fun. The best title I ever had was Innovation and Network Specialist. I lobbied for the Minister of Abundance and Possibilities. I liked my other title, it was fine and sparkly, but I'll tell you, I begged to go back out to the front line to be with you all, even though the title is really not that exciting. People ask, what's your title? I'm like, meh, just tell, what do you need? Because the collegiality in our region is unmatched. My collegiality is, I mean, the way that we show up for each other. So the way that the ministers gather and support each other, the way that religious educators gather and support each other, the way presidents and other congregations show up. And this, for me, this is the very core of what it means to be an association, showing up for each other. So the morning after the election, you know what I mean? I was on the phone with my boss begging him to reassign me Idaho and Utah as the congregations in my care. I knew it was coming. I will just say right here, I have a skinhead in my family who have lived in Idaho for a while. Not in my house. So I said, please give me those congregations. We're going to network by sundown. And he granted me the request, knowing that I would be so obnoxious if he didn't. So by sundown that night, I had contacted each of the large congregations in eastern Washington, Idaho, and Utah. And I gave them a list of 6 to 5 smaller congregations or groups, UU groups, UU groups within driving distance. And I gave them these instructions. Reach out to their lay leaders, gave them the contact information, and make sure that they know that you're there. And if they need anything, if something happens in their wider community and they need you to show up, that you will gather your people and get there. If they need help with leadership development, that you will send leaders or invite them to your own. But you, from now on, we are connected and we're getting serious about our connections and showing up. And they did. My friends, that's what it means to be part of an association that's showing up. And since that election, we have been networking the heck out of Southern Idaho and Northern Utah. In summer, 8 congregations take turns hosting barbecues. See, they know how to have fun also. And it's complete with home hospitality. They bring the kids, they bring that Idaho Falls has decided that part of their the embodiment of their mission is to buy an old school bus so that they can all pile in, go to the next congregation, pile them and go to the next congregation, and then get to whichever congregation they're originally going to. So when there's a vote in Boise, there is quite the sea of yellow shirts that goes on the steps. So if you ever see it in the media, because sometimes it'll hit, know that a good portion of those folks are from all over Idaho, and they're all having a party that night in the homes of the Boise congregation. Don't you want in on that? Oh my gosh, I love it so much. So this spring, the congregation in Pocatello, Idaho, celebrated their calling their first minister. And someone went, oh, it was really sweet. And they also got to ordain her. And I flew over for the celebration. I don't normally do that, but that's a big deal in Pocatello, Idaho. Now, Pocatello has 41 adults on their books. There was close to 300 people in the sanctuary that night. 300. The party afterwards was so rowdy, I could hardly hear myself, because those folks could simply not get enough of each other. There were people from Boise, Twin Falls, Idaho Falls, Cache Valley, Ogden, and Salt Lake City. Even the big church in Salt Lake City, which historically kind of keeps to themselves, but not anymore. They're all loving themselves up and rejoicing. When I think of the UUA, that's what I think about. Another thing that our region does that other regions don't as effectively is we pool our resources from congregations, we pool our volunteers from congregations to create teams to serve other congregations. So each of our staff on the regional team has a specialty, has different specialties. We have a safe congregation specialty, transitions, multimedia and worship. Believe it or not, he was a producer in LA. We have part of my specialty is planting new congregations and conflict transformation, which is our healthy congregations team. The team's vision is spiritually mature, culturally competent, non-anxious people embracing conflict as faith formation, as a faith formation opportunity and a normal part of religious community. So let me say that again, okay, envision this. The team's vision is spiritually mature, culturally competent, non-anxious people living conflict as a faith formation opportunity and a normal part of religious community and honestly, the human journey. I want that. I want that for every congregation. And this team goes around and helps congregations build that, build their own teams. And I want to thank you specifically, East Shore, because you let me borrow Aisha Hauser, your Director of Lifelong Learning, who has helped make that team even richer and broader, more imaginative in our thinking. And when I think of the UUA, that's also what I think about. When you understand your congregation and 1,000 other congregations to be the UUA, pooling your resources to create something larger than yourselves, lasting beyond ourselves. That question of what has the UUA done for us lately means something different, doesn't it? We go from I to we, from consumer to dreamer, from perhaps fear to faith, from scarcity to abundance and possibilities. May we continue to make it so.